It's Wednesday, August 6th, 2014. This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. Coming up, Vaughn Palmer with news from Canada. A new performance space for Bellevue that's been in the works for 12 years. Will it finally get built? But first, in yesterday's primary results, voters appear to be passing Seattle's Proposition 1 to create a permanent taxing district for city parks. We'll hear from both sides of that proposition later in this hour. Yesterday's primary also winnows the field in state legislative races, as the top two vote-getters will go to the general election in November. Earlier today, Austin Jenkins of the Northwest News Network told me what the results mean for the fall elections.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, Ross, because going back to January, the narrative was that Republicans were going to be playing defense, that they were going to have a hard time holding on because they had a lot of positions to protect. We know that the Seattle East Side suburbs are trending more Democratic. But after the primary, after last night's primary, Chris Vance, for example, who's the former Republican State Party chair, now a political handicapper, was singing a very different tune and saying that he thinks that the Republican incumbents are looking very strong going into the general election, noting that many of those in this sort of swing district, the ones that we've all been watching, were polling over 55%, some into the 57% range. Those are strong numbers for a primary. The question is, how much will they change? What potential do Democrats have going into the general election to flip those numbers?
What are the key races to look for coming this fall?
Well, there are several. One that seems to be in the Democratic category early on is going to be Rodney Thompson. This is the 48th District, Medina and surrounding area. Rodney Thompson is one of the two Democrats who joined with Republicans to help them take control of the state Senate. He's the Senate Majority Leader, but he late in the game announced he isn't running for re-election. Now State Representative Cyrus Habib, a Democrat, is running in that seat, and he had 63% of the vote. So it looks like that's a pickup for Democrats. They need two to win back the majority. Several other seats that are potentially in contention, but as I said, Republicans were polling well. We're in the 45th district. Andy Hill, the Republican budget chair, up in Whatcom County, Doug Erickson, Senate energy chair, 57%. Steve O'Bann down in Lakewood is a Republican incumbent appointed to that seat to replace Mike Carroll, 56%. Over in Spokane, the 6th district, Michael Baumgartner, Republican, 57%. These are all races that I was watching last night, and a lot of people were. Those seem to be the seats that were in play, but at this point, again, those Republicans were polling really well. On the flip side, Steve Hobbs, who's a very middle-of-the-road Democrat up in Snohomish County, he's a Democratic incumbent, seemed to be polling well, so it looks like his seat isn't necessarily in contention for the fall.
Austin, the powerful Seattle Democrat, House Speaker Frank Chopp, has a socialist challenger for the second time. The Socialist Alternative Party hopes that Jess Speer can shake things up in Olympia like Kashama Sawant did here on the Seattle City Council. How did Jess Speer do?
Well, I would say that Frank Chopp may have to worry about losing some House seats and some of his majority, not the majority, but some of the strength he has. I don't think he has to worry about losing his seat. He polled at 81% to Jessica Speer's 19%.
Austin Jenkins of the Northwest News Network, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Ross.
What about congressional races in yesterday's primary? For more analysis, we're joined by political strategist Randy Pepple. He ran Republican Rob McKenna's gubernatorial campaign back in 2012. Randy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, in the 4th Congressional District in Central Washington, it appears historically it'll be two Republicans facing off this November, Dan Newhouse and Tea Partier Clint Didier. Didier got the most votes. What's that say about Republican strength in that district?
Well, I think the fact that you had eight Republican candidates who got over 77% of the primary vote in the 4th Congressional says the Republicans are going to win that seat. And the fact that two are advancing to the general means that for sure that's the case. And frankly, I think it means that Dan Newhouse is going to be the next congressman from the 4th District, even though he finished second in the primary. The majority of the Republican voters voted for somebody other than Didier. I suspect that will continue in the general election.
Is Clint Didier too conservative?
No, I just think that Dan Newhouse is better known and will be better able to not just get a majority of the Republican votes, but will also get far more of the Democrat votes and independent votes than will Clint, who tends to focus much more on base Republican voters.
Let's talk about the first congressional district. Incumbent Democrat Susan DelBene and Republican Robert Sutherland came in first and second. Republican Pedro Celis in third place. There are more votes to count in this race. Do these initial results surprise you, Randy?
Well, I think the fact that Susan DelBene is under 52% was the most surprising thing to me. For an incumbent to be so low that over 48% of the district says we want somebody else was pretty impressive. Now, I think that Pedro Celis is still going to end up being the Republican nominee. He's behind by 720 votes right now, and he started advertising on cable in the last week of the campaign. I have a feeling that that will lift him up into second place and make for an interesting election in the fall.
Do you think that's the most interesting congressional race? Which one are you particularly focusing in on for the fall?
Well, I think that's easily in the first congressional district. That's the most interesting one because it's the one that might change parties. It's the most narrowly drawn district. It's supposed to be competitive, and you've got the incumbent showing some weakness. And so I think that will be more interesting than seeing which Republican comes out of the 4th district.
Randy, is Washington State's Republican Party as conservative as the GOP is nationally?
Well, I think it is not, because our state is not conservative as a typical Republican state is nationally. I think that we tend to elect common sense conservatives in this state and more moderate Republicans than you would elect in some other states. I mean, frankly, we have folks that Democrats that get elected in this state that would be considered Republicans down south. So I think that we certainly are not as conservative as all other states, but we're not as liberal as all other states either.
Let's talk a little bit about these legislative races. The Democrats struggling mightily to win back a majority in the state Senate. They're going to have to pick up a couple of seats. What do you see? How do you read the tea leaves of these primary results to what's going to happen in November when it comes to control of the state Senate?
Well, Republicans are going to maintain control of the state Senate. I think that's clear. If you look at it, not a single Republican-held seat, in other words, that there was a Republican incumbent holding that seat now, whether they were running or not, went majority Democrat in this election, in the House or the Senate, whereas there was one Democrat-held seat in the Senate and three Democrat-held seats in the House that voted majority Republican in the primary. I think what's really impressive is not that the Republicans will maintain control in the Senate, but that they have put the House into play. I mean, there are 11 districts in the state House that are within 8 points, that are under 55% for the winning party, and eight of those are Democrat seats. I mean, it's going to be a shooting match for the Democrats to hold on to the House.
Finally, Randy, Tim Shelton is a Democrat who helped give control of the Senate to the Republicans by aligning with their majority coalition. He's in a tight three-way race. What do you see happening there going forward?
Well, I think that Tim Sheldon's going to be in the general election. There's a chance, given that there's probably another 30,000 votes to count there, that he'll end up moving into first place. But regardless, it's going to be two Democrats on the ballot down there, Tim Shelton and the Democrat that's preferred by folks who don't live in the district as much. And so Tim Sheldon's going to get reelected down there, and I suspect he'll be caucusing with the majority caucus this fall once again.
Hey, Randy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Randy Peppel, political strategist. He's based in Woodinville. You're listening to The Record from KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.